To 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Now, this passage is speaking about two different kinds of wisdom. And wisdom is the guide of all men. There is a wisdom which is of this world, that is fleshly, that is carnal, that's of the old sinful man. And God calls that wisdom vain. He calls it foolishness. And then there is a wisdom which is of God, the wisdom that is from above, that wisdom which Christ is made unto us, that wisdom found only in the Word of God, and that wisdom God puts in the heart of His child. Now that's true wisdom. It's true wisdom. And these two kinds of wisdom are as different as night and day. Now turn over to James chapter 3. And we see the contrast in these two types of wisdom. James chapter 3, and look at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, a good conduct, his works with meekness of wisdom. That always accompanies true wisdom, meekness of wisdom. That's the spirit of true wisdom. But, now listen to this, if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, now listen to the difference in this. The wisdom that is from God, the wisdom that's from above, is first pure. It comes from Holy God. It's pure. Then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. That means easy to be taught. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Do you see the difference in these two kinds of wisdom? Now, if we mistake the foolishness of this world and the vain wisdom of our carnal flesh, if we mistake that for true wisdom, it's going to pervert all of the very principles of the gospel. It's going to pervert those. And we're going to greatly err if that's the case. And so in our text, the Apostle Paul says we ought to forsake all self-wisdom and flee to God, to true wisdom. All right, I want to show you a few things here. First of all, in our text, self-wisdom is self-deceiving. Self-wisdom is self-deceiving. Look at verse 18, 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. That sounds strange, doesn't it, that you would deceive yourself? Well, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have put this here and gave Paul this to write to believers if it wasn't a problem that believers have. Now, we know that a spiritually dead man, born the first time, has got to be born again, and God has to save him from his spiritual, from his self-deception. He's got to be saved from his self-deception. But truth is, a believer has to be saved from our self-deception too. Because we yet have that old man of sin with us, and that old heart, that old deceitful nature, is more deceitful than anything. Listen to the scripture. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart, and he's talking about the flesh. He's talking about that which we got from Adam. A man that's not been born of God, that's all he is. But the believer has this old nature too. And he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's why Paul says, let no man deceive himself. I don't want to be deceived, and I don't want you to be deceived. But he says here to us personally, to you personally and to me personally, let no man deceive himself. So you take any situation you're in, you could be somebody that God is just now converting from unbelief to faith for the first time. Or it could be God's putting you through a trial. You're a believer, and God's putting you through a trial. It could be there's a quarrel of some sort between two believers. Any situation. It could be you have some great decision you have to make. It could be that you're torn between showing mercy or some hard judgment towards somebody. It could be that a brother might be being called to the ministry. He doesn't know if this is of God or his flesh or what have you. But the context here is, it's to preachers. It's to God's preachers. And he says here, let no man deceive himself. Self-wisdom is self-deceiving. The scriptures tell us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. With all that new heart that God's put in the believer, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. This wisdom in our text that God calls foolishness, that's our own understanding. That's our own sinful flesh. But the wisdom, he says, that is true wisdom, that's the wisdom that's of God. So first thing we see, it's self-deceiving. Self-wisdom is self-deceiving. Now, secondly, if we find ourselves leaning to our fleshly wisdom, or at any point we're leaning to our fleshly wisdom, he says here, true wisdom is to forsake it for the wisdom of God. Become a fool that you might be wise in God. Look here at verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. That he may be wise in God and in the Lord, in the Lord's Word. Now, when God gives a sinner divine wisdom, and I'm telling you this could be in the very beginning when he converts us, or any of those scenarios I gave, or one you may be in that I didn't even talk about. But when he's converting you and giving you wisdom from this trial and this unbelief and this sin, back to him, if you're a believer. Whatever it is, when he's converting you and he gives you wisdom, God makes his child do three things. And it's right here in this passage, right here in this verse. The first thing he makes you do is acknowledge your own ignorance. He says, if any man seemeth to be wise. And that's all our wisdom is, just seeming to be wise. You know, we'll get all puffed up in our flesh and, well, if I know one thing, well, probably not. It just seems wisdom. And he makes us take our place as a fool. As a fool in our own eyes and as a fool in the eyes of this world. He says, let him become a fool. And God makes us submit our reason to the teaching of divine wisdom. He says, that he may be wise. Come to God. Come to his word. come to Christ that you may be wise. Let me read something to you out of 2 Corinthians. I just thought of this when we were singing that song. This is 2 Corinthians 10. This is what God does when He gives us true wisdom. When He gives us true wisdom. 2 Corinthians 10:5. He casts down imaginations. That word is reasonings. Our reasoning. He casts that down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And He brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what He does. Now, I want to expound this verse in our text by looking at six scriptures. And we got a lot of scripture to turn to tonight, and that's good on a Thursday night. That'll keep us awake and keep us attentive. So, I got six scriptures, and in all of these scriptures, God gives a warning through His writer. He gives a warning for us not to be deceived, not to deceive ourselves. All right, the first thing is in 1 Corinthians 6. We're not to be deceived about this. No unrighteous sinner will enter into heaven. Not one. And there's only one who makes us fit to enter into heaven. This is what we need to understand first. We need to get this first. There's no unrighteous sinner that'll enter heaven. And there's only one who can make us fit to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now look here in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Let no man deceive himself. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, there's no sinner that's going to enter heaven. That's what Revelation tells us. It says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But here's who's going to enter. They which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, no sinner's going to enter heaven. And yet, here's the problem. Every one of us sitting here in ourselves are guilty sinners. You can look at that list that we just read, and you fit in there somewhere. And so do I. So how then are we going to be made fit to enter God's presence? His holy, holy, holy presence. Only one way. Where do we behold God's wisdom? He said, if any man seems wise, where do we behold God's wisdom? Do we behold it in us? Not at all. The fact of the matter is, God's wisdom, to be a just God and a Savior, would never have entered into our heart. It had never entered our mind. And that tells me and you that if we begin here looking at how we're saved, and we see that it's not of our wisdom, that teaches us we ought not look to our wisdom in anything else. Look to God. And that's where we behold the wisdom. We're made to behold God's wisdom when the Spirit of God sanctifies us by cleansing us and giving us life and teaching us and bringing us to faith in Christ. That's when we're made to behold God's true wisdom. Because that's when we're made to behold Christ, because God makes Him wisdom to us. How so? He shows you that it's in Christ that God can be just and the justifier. That's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is that God is just to save all of His elect because He poured out the fury of His wrath on all of His elect. They all were paid the wages of sin, which is death. And He did it when He poured out His wrath on one, on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. There's where Christ justified us. And God's the justifier because God was in Christ reconciling His people unto Himself. He's the just God and the justifier. And God did it in such a way. Here's the wisdom of God. He did it in such a way that we can't boast. Boasting's excluded by the law of faith. There's no boasting when you're simply believing on Christ to justify you and save you from your sins. Now, where do we behold that truth? Where do we get that wisdom? Not in us. Not in us. We get it from God. We get it through the Holy Spirit of God. We get it beholding Christ, the Son of God. We get it through God's Word. We get it through faith. And so, he tells us, let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. All right? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm trying to show you these scriptures because I want to show you that this wisdom doesn't come from us. This wisdom comes from God's Word. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at verse 33. Be not deceived about believers being companions of unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Let no man deceive himself now. Evil communications, and the word is evil companionships, corrupt good manners. When I lived in Arkansas, the church, we were about 30 to 40 minutes from the church. And we didn't have but one other young person in the church. He was a little younger than me, and he lived about 30 to 40 minutes on the other side of the church in Texarkana, Arkansas. And so I really didn't have many believers to hang around with. And I can tell you, after I moved to Tennessee, and I was able to be around believers, and to have dinner during the week with believers, and to call somebody up and say, let's get together and go bowling or whatever we were doing, just to be with people of the same fellowship and to be able to talk to them, that made all the difference. I mean, it was so much. And I can tell you, this is so. Evil companionships corrupt good manners. That's just so. Now, a man may seem to be wise and he may reject this. And that's how he talks. Any man seems to be wise is a man who would read this and say, well, I don't think that's necessarily so. Is that wisdom? God says it's so. It's wisdom to bow to God's Word and say, well, there it is. God said it. It's true. It's true. Be not deceived. Evil companionship corrupt good manners. All right, thirdly, look at Galatians chapter 6. Be not deceived with a self-righteous opinion of yourself. Look here at Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man, we're talking about a believer here, a fellow believer, somebody that Christ laid down his life for, somebody Christ poured out his blood for, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now there's how you deceive yourself. When I have a brother, somebody for whom Christ died, and he's overtaken in a fault, there's no doubt the brother's at fault. There's no doubt he's overtaken. There's just no doubt about it. Maybe he did something to me. Maybe he did something to one of my children. Maybe he did something to somebody in my family. That gets close to home when that happens. And the flesh rises up. You become puffed up in your knowledge, then. The wisdom of God says I'm to consider myself. Why? Well, I'm to consider this. My own faults are worse than my brother's faults. I don't care what your brother has done. You and I should be able to look at him and say, my own faults are worse. They're worse. You know, we like to quote Paul saying, I'm the chief of sinners. Are we the chief of sinners? Am I the chief of sinners? That's why he says, stop before you say anything and just consider. Yeah, he's offended me. Yeah, he's offended his brethren. Yes, he's not done what he should have done. Have I? Consider yourself to be the chief of sinners. And then consider this. Though that's the case with me, what did Christ do for me? What did he do for you? Even though I was guilty of transgressing against him, Christ came to where I am and laid down his life for me. And because he did, he took all my burden away. And God forgives me for Christ's sake. And now he says, you do the same. You do the same. And if I don't consider myself and know that this is true of myself, what I'll do is I will be lifted up in pride. I'll be lifted up in anger. I'll be lifted up in all these different sins, that bitter envy and strife that we just read about in James. And here's what I'll do. I'll uncover my brother's sin. I'll accuse him. And all the while that I'm doing that, I'm just exalting myself in self-righteousness, just bigger and bigger and bigger. But if I do that, and that's a wicked thing, if I do that, you know what the Spirit of God says to me? Here's wisdom, verse 3. I'm deceiving myself. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You see that? So after I consider that I'm the chief of sinners, then what does God say I'm to do? Restore such a one. You know what that means? It means mend whatever is broken. It means strengthen him with the gospel. It means forgive for Christ's sake, even as God has forgiven you. And it says, and do it in the spirit of meekness. You know, the heart's motive is the most important thing. Do it in the spirit of meekness. It's not this, forgiving somebody. Well, I'm going to forgive you. I ought not to forgive. That's not forgiving somebody. But in the spirit of meekness, forgive somebody. As a broken and contrite sinner who's in need of grace, my own self. And he says, and bear ye. That means put upon one's own self. Put upon your own self one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Isn't that what Christ did for us? Christ came and took all the burdens of all his elect, and he bore those burdens. He took that weight of sin and guilt off his people, and he bore it. He bore it. And then he came to where we are and restored us in his righteousness. He mended that which was broken. And he did it in the spirit of meekness. Christ made himself the least. Made himself the least. That's what we're learning, brethren, as we go. We're not growing up to be all puffed up in knowledge and holiness so that people can't stand to be around us. We're learning to grow to be the least. To grow to be the least. That's true growth in the kingdom of God. Now, will it be the wisdom of God if I hear this and I disregard it? I say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep exalting myself. I'm going to keep casting blame on them because they're in the wrong. James said that the man that delights in judgment will have judgment. The man that delights in mercy will have mercy. If I do that, if I be petty and vindictive, I'm saying I'm more wise than Christ is. Because this is the love of Christ. This is the law of Christ. This is the law of his house. Love and mercy is the law of his house. So let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. All right, fourthly, look down the page there, Galatians 6 and verse 6. Be not deceived concerning God's knowledge of all things. Our text tells us God knows the thoughts of the wise man, that they're vain. Now look at this. Let him that is taught in the word communicate, give unto him that teacheth. In what? What am I to give the preacher? In all good things. Whatever I'm given that's good that I can use to help support the gospel and the preacher and my brethren, in all good things. And now watch this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have, therefore, opportunity. Now here's the application. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. See, God knows if we're sowing to our flesh or if we're sowing to the Spirit. We can't fool God. God's all-knowing. He knows that. Now, for the believer who's taking the things God's given him and using them and delightfully, cheerfully, by God's grace, he has the Spirit of God in him, and he delights to use what God given him to support the preaching of the gospel, to support his needy brethren, and to support all men that have needs. He's happy to do that. That's good news to know that God knows what you're sowing. Why is it good news? Because sometimes we feel like we're going to faint. Sometimes we think, you know, it's just, is Lord even know this? Does he even know, you know, that I want to serve him? But sometimes it doesn't seem like the Lord even acknowledges it. Well, he knows. This is what the Scripture says. God's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you've showed toward his name, in that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. God knows that. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But is it wisdom if I imagine that I can use the thing God's given me and live for my flesh and try to fool everybody that I'm concerned about the gospel and it going forth in the world? Is that wisdom to think I can fool God? It's not wisdom. God's not mocked. He said, God's just. That's what he's saying here. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you're just and you have somebody working for you, if you're just, you're going to give them whatever they've earned. That's what he's saying. God give you whatever you earn. That's exactly right. For he that soweth to his flesh, look at this, of his flesh, of the flesh, shall he reap corruption. All God has to do to the man that's sowing to his flesh is leave him alone. And the corruption he'll reap is from his own flesh. But watch this. But he that soweth to the Spirit, how does he do it? By the Spirit. And what does he reap? He shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's grace. That's God giving you the heart to do it. God giving you more light to do it. God giving you abundant substance to do it. God making all grace abound to you that you may abound in every good work all the time. And then in the end, the Spirit of God giving you everlasting life. God gave it all. We didn't give anything. Now, if I hear that and I try to be deceitful, like who was it? Sapphira and her husband that sold some of their land and pretended like they gave it all to God, but they didn't give it all to God. And the Lord struck them down. Let no man deceive himself. If anybody seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. All right, here's the fifth thing. James 1. James 1. Be not deceived about our religion. I don't want to be deceived about my religion, do you? I want to I want to make my calling and election sure. I want to know that it's true. Look here, James 1:22. He says, he's been speaking about hearing the word. And he says, to lay apart all filthiness and all the overflowing naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But then he says, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, the hearer only who's not a doer, he's deceiving himself. Watch this. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. And for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. This man looks into the gospel as a mirror, and he sees what the gospel says of him. It says that I'm a totally helpless sinner, unable to save myself. We're seeing tonight, looking in this mirror, and it's teaching us, don't look at your own wisdom and lean to your own wisdom. Don't trust your wisdom. It's vanity. It's foolishness before God. Trust God's wisdom. And he hears that Christ is the only wisdom of God. He's the only righteousness for his people, the only sanctification, the only redemption. And he hears it, and he leaves. He goes his way. And just as soon as he goes his way, he starts forgetting what he heard. If he's crossed by somebody, he judges them. He's self-righteous. He condemns them. Or if he comes to something where he's got to make a decision, he didn't go back to God's word. He just looks to his own wisdom to do what he needs to do. He just straightway forgot that he has no strength and no wisdom. He needs Christ for everything. He forgot it. But look here. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the gospel of Christ, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now he gives us two examples. Here's the forgetful hearer. Here's what he does. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And here's the doer. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and withers in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now understand, this man knows the gospel. He hears the gospel. He understands. He can tell you the doctrine of total depravity and unconditional election and limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. He knows the gospel. But right away he goes out, acts like he never heard about depravity. His own. Acts like he never heard about his need for mercy, the mercy of God. His tongue's unbridled in self-righteous judgment of others because his heart hadn't been broken. It's not contrite. It's not broken by God. He needs no mercy because from God, and so he doesn't give mercy. When you become a mercy giver, when you become a mercy beggar, when God gives you mercy and you see everything's of mercy, that's when you delight in mercy. And he has no desire to be separated from this sinful, defiling world, because he's just acting just like the world. Now, but that wisdom that God gives from above, that man in his heart flees to Christ for forgiveness. That man flees to Christ when he leaves. He's still thinking on Christ and still looking to Christ. And he goes home and he reads his word. He doesn't want to lose that spirit that he has in him that he got when he heard the gospel preached. And when he comes into a trial, his tongue's bridled because his heart's bridled. He's got a broken and contrite heart from God. So he's not lifting himself up and exalting himself and condemning everybody. Oh, he may do that because he's flesh. But that Spirit of God's going to constrain him with the love of Christ. And he says now, and he needs mercy, so he shows mercy. And he doesn't want to be in this world. He don't want to be a part of this world. He wants to be separated out of it and be with Christ. That's his heart. That man's religion's true, he said. So let no man deceive himself. If you think you're being wise in your own wisdom, flee that wisdom. Forsake it and become a fool that you might be wise in Christ. Now let me show you this sixth thing. 1 John 1. Let's not be deceived concerning our sin. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It could be when God's first calling you. It could be all those scenarios I went through. It could be you being in a quarrel with somebody. You know, and if we blame the other fellow instead of restoring the other fellow, what we're saying is, I don't have any sin. I haven't sinned in this. They're the only ones that did it. And he's saying here, in all those scenarios, in every case with a believer, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. And the truth's not in us. If the truth is in me, and that's where this wisdom is having God put the truth in you, the Word of God in you, to be begotten of the incorruptible seed. If I have truth in me, by God's grace, He's going to make me to bow to God's Word and confess my sins to God and seek His mercy. It could be, if I'm having a quarrel with Melinda, and we don't ever quarrel, but if let's just give a scenario, say that happened, I would fall on my face, by God's grace, and ask Him, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I need mercy. I need mercy. Constantly I need mercy. And this is what He says, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let no man deceive himself. Now go back to our text and we're done. I just want you to see. Don't you see how all of those warnings apply to our text right here? They all apply. Let us not deceive ourselves into thinking that our worldly, fleshly wisdom is better than God's wisdom. Go to this book right here and see what God says and bow to that. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool in this world and to this world, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world's foolishness with God. You see that? The wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. If you forsake your wisdom for God's wisdom, that's going to be foolishness to the world. But the wisdom of this world's foolishness with God. So which one you want to be the fool for? We can't serve both. We can't walk in our wisdom and God's wisdom. For the wisdom of the world's foolishness with God, it's written, He takes the wise in their own craftiness, and the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise that they're vain. I'm going to just give you some scripture. If you got a pen, you can write this down. I'm going to give you some scripture to read when you get home. He quotes from Job here, and he quotes from the Psalms here. Job 5, verses 8 through 16. The first thing he says is, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. And that's what I'm saying here in this. That's what he's saying. Forsake your wisdom and commit your cause to God. And then Psalm 94, verses 8 through 13. And he says this, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they're vanity. That's what he quoted in our text. And he ends with this, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, out of your word, out of your wisdom, that thou mayest give him rest, that God may do it. Give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. I can tell you this, if we lean into our wisdom, walking in our wisdom, and we're God's, in any of these scriptures we looked at tonight or in any scenario I talked about tonight, if we're walking in our wisdom and we're God's, He's going to turn us and make us to be the fool. Make us to see we're a fool in ourselves that we might be wise in Him. He's going to chasten us because He's not going to forsake His inheritance. I pray He'll bless that. Amen. Father, thank You for this Word. Lord, the clear, simple instruction You give us in Scripture is often the hardest for us to bow down to and to follow. And the main reason, Lord, is because we want to be wise in ourselves. And it's hard to confess that it's nothing but vanity and nothing but foolishness. Lord, don't let us go the way of this world and be destroyed with this world. Keep us separated by your grace. Cause Christ to be our preeminent wisdom in our hearts. And Lord, whatever our trial is that we're going through, whatever your people are dealing with right now, you know it. You know it. And you're able to comfort, you're able to strengthen, you're able to make wise, you're able to save, you're able to convert, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And Lord, we ask that you do that. Help your people. Help us to see that there's nothing about us, there's nothing worth breaking with our brethren over. Nothing worth hurting somebody for whom Christ died. Make our pride to just diminish so we could bow and be a help to one another. Confess our sins to you and be wise by your wisdom and your strength. Lord, forgive us where we fail. Forgive us for all these faults. And we see ourselves as more the sinner than anything else in all of these things. We pray, Lord, that you continue to forgive us for Christ's sake. And remind us of that. Remind us of why you forgive us for Christ's sake. Teach us to do the same for one another. We ask it, Lord, in Christ's precious name. Amen.